Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian. I'm Daniel Messer. A new sickness is sweeping the world, but it's hitting especially hard here in America. The weird thing is, the United States Center for Disease Control hasn't said much about it. You probably won't hear too much about it from your doctor either. Yet, it's costing people billions of dollars per year, and they find that they can't fully rid themselves of the affliction. Sure, some might get better, but so many people retain the disease at a lower level, and it may never fully leave them. They might never be cured. I confess, I too suffer from the sickness. I'm just one of the multitude, and there are millions like me who suffer in silence. But no more. It's time to bring this topic into the light and make everyone aware of it, because I, like so many others, suffer from subscription fatigue. I subscribe to movies, I subscribe to music, I subscribe to software, and I subscribe to magazines. The symptoms of the disease can present as monthly credit card payments to Netflix, Amazon Prime, Spotify, Zinio, Apple Music, and so on. Worse yet, new symptoms seem to arise every month or so as another new subscription service comes online. The rumor among the afflicted is that things are only going to get worse as there's a new symptom arising. A Disney-based symptom. But it doesn't have to be this way. We can do better. And even if we can't be fully cured, we can seek treatment. We can get help. We can hold back the symptoms and keep the disease at bay. This won't cost a lot of money, and you won't need to go digging for your insurance information. That's not what you need, my friend. You don't need your insurance card. You need your library card. This is Cyberpunk Librarian, episode 57, A Prescription for Your Subscription Addiction. I'm Daniel Messer, your friendly neighborhood Cyberpunk Librarian, and I'm welcoming you back to the show that explores the intersections between libraries and technology and is all about living that high-tech, low-budget lifestyle. And hey there, my friends and listeners, Cyberpunk Librarian is back on the net, riding the fiber optics and blasting through the wireless into the depths of your podcatcher. And let me tell you, this is certainly going to be a low-budget show today. Indeed, we're going to be talking about rolling with no budget, because we're going to talk about how you might be able to ditch some of your subscription services and get things for free from your local library. Or, at the very least, we'll discuss all of the cool things that can be had for free at your local library, and you won't even have to put on pants to go get your hands on them. See, while I'm being a bit dramatic in the intro, I do feel a bit overly subscribed to some things. I pay for a music streaming service. Well, actually, I guess I pay for two because I have Spotify and Amazon Prime. I used to pay for a couple digital magazine subscriptions. Then there's Netflix and the aforementioned Amazon Prime as well for movies. Oh, and don't forget Hulu for TV. I subscribe to Xbox Live too. I'll likely pick up a Nintendo Online subscription because it's worth it just for the cloud saving alone. And I pondered an Audible subscription, but never actually went through with it. I mean, there's just so much out there to subscribe to. Apple Music, Amazon, Spotify, Google Music, YouTube Premium, Netflix, Hulu, and CBS All Access. And if you're into sports, well, there are dozens of subscriptions to be had for that kind of streaming content, too. Now, some of my listeners in Electric Library Land might be thinking, Dan, I know this. I download stuff from the digital library services all the time. What gives? What are you talking about here? The point is, you give. Give this episode to someone you know who doesn't know all about the library's digital download services. Trust me, I listen to more podcasts than most people, and I've heard multiple times on multiple podcasts from multiple hosts that even the most technologically savvy people aren't aware that they can get something as basic as an ebook for free from their library. They're complaining about needing to buy a book they'll only read once because they needed to talk about it on the show. And I'm listening in my car driving down Arizona 202, and I'm screaming at the podcast, "Did you bother checking the library, you schmuck?" So, if you're a librarian well-versed in the wonderment of your digital collections, that's great. Share this episode with someone who isn't. Between you and me, maybe we can set them straight. The public library can help alleviate subscription fatigue, if not eliminate it altogether. Let's try and make things a little less tiring and maybe not so expensive. This episode of Cyberpunk Librarian isn't brought to you by Audible. Audible, the number one purveyor of digital audiobooks, has thousands of great titles in stock, and you, yes, you, can have one, yes, one, for free by simply signing up for an audiobook subscription service. That sounds like a fantastic deal until you realize that your local library probably has access to an audiobook service too, and you might want to check that out first, since you get not one, not two, but likely thousands of audiobooks for free. I can hear you right now, and you're probably shouting, "OMG, WTF, Dan, how do I get access to thousands of the free audiobooks without taking part in a drug dealer-like ecosystem where your first hit is free, but you're sure gonna pay for each audiobook after that?" Well, friend, just hit up your local library and get yourself a library card. With that library card, you can check out some of the finest audiobook titles, and when you're done, you just get another one, and then another. And another, and another. They're just giving this stuff away. And even better, you can download these audiobooks to your smartphone, tablet, and computers right there from the comfort of your home. You don't even have to put on your gotta-put-on-pants-before-leaving-the-house pants. So next time you're in the mood for the lustrous sounds of a professional reader cooing words into your ear holes, you can go to Audible, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. Or you can check out your local library and get tons of audiobooks for the low, low price of free. We'd like to thank the public library for their support of this episode and all the great shows. Okay. True confessions time, my lovely listeners. I actually don't like audiobooks all that much. I know. I'm sorry. I just can't get into them for what is to me a very important reason. It's not like I don't like the idea of audiobooks. I totally do. I know people who, you know, they can't read a traditional book because of, you know, concentration issues or whatever, but they're still going through a couple books per month because they're all in on audiobooks. And that's fantastic. It really is. And goodness knows, there are some audiobooks that are fantastic, not just because of the book, but also the reader. Listen to any audiobook read by Stephen Fry, and you'll understand what I mean. That's not so much a function of the audiobook more than it is the addition of Stephen Fry, because I'd watch that man stand on an empty stage reading aloud the business section of the New York Times. No, I'm not into audiobooks because they just kind of take too long. I can read faster than someone can read to me. I remember a few years back when I picked up a copy of William Gibson's Spook Country on audio. Just to give it a shot. I was pretty far into the book, I thought, until I picked up the novel a few days later and discovered that I was maybe a third of the way through it. A third? Good Lord, if I'd just read the damn thing, I could have been done with it by now. But don't let my aversion to audiobooks turn you off of it, my loves. Audiobooks are fantastic, they're awesome, and they're just not for me. And these days, you can't listen to podcasts for long without hearing an ad for Audible. Audible is a service of Amazon, and yeah, they do have tons of audiobooks for you to buy or subscribe to. Their normal initial offer is one or two free audiobooks, which you can keep even if you don't want to subscribe to the service anymore. And then they'll try and get you to sign up for a monthly subscription, where you can have one or two more audiobooks per month. And folks, I know people that'll go through one or two audiobooks in a couple of weeks. I listen to something like 40 hours of podcasts every week because podcasts are literally my primary form of entertainment. These people, they'll listen to that much audiobooks, you know, they will listen to the same amount of audiobook every week. Some audiobooks are only 15 to 20 hours long, so at that rate, you can go through two of them. So, allow me to turn you on to a few other options. And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but for the very least, let me steer you away from the options where you have to give more money to Amazon, and instead, let's take advantage of the free services that your library might offer. Now, I say might, and I have to basically use a weasel word here, because every library has a little something different. Bigger libraries will typically have lots of online services, while smaller ones will have fewer. I encourage you to check out what your local library has to offer, because many of the smaller systems will still partner with larger ones and hopefully spread out the cost of online services for their patrons. Oh, and a quick final note, unless otherwise noted, all of these services have apps for smartphones, tablets, desktops, and so on. You'll typically use the service in conjunction with a library login and then utilize the app to access the content. In other words, you'll listen to the audiobooks in the app, and you'll read the ebook in the app, and so on. All right then, so before you hit up Audible, see if your library has access to a service called Overdrive. Overdrive is a service that, fair warning, is owned by an Amazon competitor, a Japanese company called Rakuten. Rakuten also owns the Kobo e-reader platform and hardware, so yeah. This is a company with a fairly obvious interest in outdoing Amazon. But that aside, Overdrive is a name that will come up again later in the show because downloadable audiobooks aren't the only thing they can do for you. Overdrive has a few claims to fame, but one of them is the fact that they typically have the big-time bestsellers that you'll see in the mainstream bookstores. So you'll find your James Pattersons, your Nora Roberts, Dan Brown, Stephen King, Jeanette Ivanovich, and stuff like that. Overdrive is normally the first service I show anyone who expresses interest in digital media, because quite frankly, it's the one they probably want. I know some people knock on James Patterson and J.D. Robb for their somewhat formulaic writing styles. Me, as a fan of pulp fiction from the magazines of the 40s through the 70s, I have no problem with a formulaic writing style. And the truth is, lots of people have no problem with that either. So they want thrilling adventure from Patterson, and romance from Roberts, and a comedy mystery from Ivanovich, and whatever the hell it is they want from E.L. James. Seriously, folks, there's better erotica out there. So, first things first, try Overdrive and check out the audiobook section. I just bet, you'll find something you like. Next up, RB Digital, which used to be called One Click Digital, and they renamed, and I think it had a name before that, and it doesn't really matter right now, because right now, it's RB Digital. RB Digital has a smattering of your AAA titles and authors, but they're also carrying a wealth of authors you might not find on Overdrive. However, like Overdrive, you can search for authors and titles, you can browse by genres. So if you're looking for romance, science fiction, fantasy, western, or even nonfiction, browse by genre, and these services will likely have your back. And finally, for audiobooks, let's talk about Hoopla. Hoopla, like Overdrive, will come up again in this episode because Hoopla, also like Overdrive, offers an obscene amount of content in different formats. And one of those formats happens to be audiobooks. In my opinion, Hoopla offers an even better mix of hot authors, new titles, and eclectic selections than RB Digital. They also offer an interesting breakdown in their browsing. Rather than just simply calling out the major genres like mystery, romance, and so on, which they do, don't get me wrong, they also call out genres like adapted to film, road trip, as well as seasonal things like summer reads or spooky titles or Christmas stories. All of these services offer you the ability to listen to your audiobooks offline, so you can download them to your smartphone or tablet and not worry about needing an internet connection. Me? I recently got back from a road trip that took me through the Nevada deserts, and let me tell you, there's a reason that nuclear tests were done in Nevada, because there's nothing to lose there. You can drive for miles and miles and never see anything in the way of another person. No matter what your cell carrier, you will be without signal for periods of time. But that won't matter, because you'll be set with your audiobooks that you've already downloaded to your device. Okay, great, so that's audiobooks. Give those services a try, but what if you just want to, you know, read something? E-books are a huge part of my world. I carry a Kindle Paperwhite and an iPad Pro almost everywhere I go. Each is packing a large amount of reading material that, if they were the physical copies of the books, would weigh as much as the truck I would need to carry them around in. There's something I neglected to mention at the outset, and that's the fact that you'll never get an overdue fine for e-content like downloadable audio and downloadable e-books. If there's one thing that's good about digital rights management, it's that it prevents you from keeping that item for too long and racking up overdue fines at your library. That's something to consider if you happen to have a problem with that. When it comes to ebooks, there is one massive player in the space, and then a few smaller ones. The elephant in the room happens to be blue and has a big white O on its side. It's like the worst Pokemon ever, and its name is Overdrive. See, I told you it'd come up again. Overdrive offers the stuff that most people want when it comes to audio, and especially when it comes to ebooks. Overdrive is also the only downloadable content service that works with Amazon Kindle, which happens to be my preferred platform of choice. And this is a little odd, since, like I said, Overdrive is owned by an Amazon competitor, but apparently they're getting along for now, so take advantage if you happen to have a Kindle. No. Before someone starts piping up about the cyberpunk librarian going corporate, let's just back up and say I have ways of leveraging my Kindle Paperwhite to do things beyond Amazon's original intentions. But when it comes right down to it, you'll not find a better e-ink reader, at least in my opinion. Kobo makes some nice ones, but I've not had a play with a Kobo in a while now, so I can't really recommend everything. Funny thing, Kobo e-readers. Overdrive is owned by that massive company called Rakuten, which also owns the Kobo brand of e-readers. Seems, I don't know, synergistic or something like that. Either way, Overdrive is going to have your big New York Times best-selling authors and the big titles for your e-reader of choice, no matter whose brand is on the front of it. Like all of the services, Overdrive has an app for iOS, Android, and Kindle Fire, and it handles every bit of content Overdrive dishes out. Want to download an ebook? Cool, you can read it right from the app. Want to listen to an audiobook? Great, you can listen right in the app. But a quick pro tip, if you're going to go looking for the Overdrive app, make sure you get the right one. Overdrive is currently rocking two apps, and one is old and busted, while Libby is the new hotness. Libby, that's L-I-B-B-Y, is what happens when Overdrive redoes their entire app from the ground up, and they actually did a good job of it. When they initially launched it, I was skeptical, lovelies, because the original Overdrive app, it's not good. It's kind of bad. And I don't mean bad as in badass. No, it's just kind of bad. It works, but it was never really good to use. It never felt like you were going to enjoy using this to read your book. At the time I'm recording this, the original Overdrive app is still available on the iOS and Google App Stores. But as the song goes, just walk on by. Keep scrolling until you find Libby, and get that. It's so much better. Now then, this next one isn't as popular as Overdrive, and you may have a harder time finding it because it's a much smaller ebook distributor. But if you have the option, you might want to dig on a service called Freeding. If Overdrive is like your Barnes & Noble. Freeding is more akin to the indie bookstore down the street on the corner. You know, the one with the good coffee and that cute barista. They really have good pastries, too. Anyway, Freeding has a ton of great stuff, and I think it's all too often overlooked because over there sits a big blue elephant named Overdrive. Remember that? One of the most awesome things about your library offering multiple downloading services is that you have a choice. Didn't find something you wanted on Overdrive? Well, try a different service. It's just a click away. And once again, no pants needed. Take a look at the Freeding website on, and look at the most popular downloads. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing things like The Cow in the Parking Lot, A Zen Approach to Overcoming Anger. Wireless Hacking 101, hey. Enchanted Dreams. How to Instant Pot, that's cooking, not smoking. A World Without Stars, which is a sci-fi classic by Grandmaster Poul Anderson. And Optimism Sounds Exhausting, because, yeah, it kind of is sometimes. Now then, Freeding is a little different in that they do offer apps for iOS and Android, but what you're really downloading is an EPUB using Adobe Digital Editions for the digital rights management on the back end. So if you happen to have a Kindle, well, you're kind of screwed. Or is that Kindle screwed? However, any e-ink device that's compatible with Adobe Digital Editions will work, and thankfully that's most any reader that doesn't have Amazon or Kindle on the face of it. I have no idea why Kindle doesn't play with an ebook format that is about as common as a text file, but that's Amazon for you. That also means that any app that's compatible with Adobe Digital Editions content will work just fine with Freeding. And there are a lot of those on the major mobile platforms, so you can make those work if you prefer those. The Freeding app isn't too bad, really. It's simple, but really, it's an app to download and read text. We've been doing that since VAX terminals. Feature creep need not be a thing. I'll have a link in the show notes to the Freeding help page. That'll answer most of your questions about what works. If you have access to the service, take a look. It's really worth your time. Finally, we're back to another service I've already mentioned, and that's Hoopla. Hoopla kind of has, well, everything. So we'll hear from them again, too. To fully torture my previous bookstore metaphor, if Overdrive is Barnes & Noble and Freeding is the indie bookstore, Hoopla is kind of like a decent bookstore that you'd find in an airport. Yeah, it's not going to have the massive selection like the two-story Barnes & Noble, but if you're looking for an entertaining read, well, Hoopla will likely have that for you. Hoopla uses its app for everything, so you'll download and read the ebook in the app. They've got a wide selection of authors, novels, genres, and so on. And this includes big titles like Girl, Wash Your Face, The Diary of a Wimpy Kid series, and more. They've got a pretty stellar nonfiction section, too, and strangely enough, I tend to read more nonfiction than I do fiction. As I said, though, you have choices. You should totally exercise them. Something else you need to consider when reading ebooks. Long ago and far away, I wrote an article called Kindles Have No Covers. And it's all about how you no longer need to worry about those so-called guilty reads. Me, I have no guilty reads. I will read damn near anything in any genre, and I don't care what it is so long as it's entertaining and or interesting. If you do it right, you can make the back of a shampoo bottle a great shower time read. But I know people who don't want to be seen reading romance novels in public. Or they feel a bit weird about reading James Patterson because everybody reads James Patterson. Or they don't want to be seen reading a particular anything because it's an opening for a conversation they don't particularly want to have. Hey, baby, I see you're reading a book about peppers. I'm a spicy kind of guy myself. Yeah, I can understand why that would suck. But you know what the most popular genre of ebook is on almost any e-content platform? Well, if you guessed romance, then give yourself a silver star, because you're close. Romance is only the most popular genre under one condition, And that condition is, does the platform classify erotica as romance, or does it have its own taxonomical class? The iPad, tablet, Kindle, e-reader, or whatever, it looks the same whether you're reading erotica or an annotated version of the Odyssey. So if you're looking for a book that features a cover that might give you pause about reading it in public, hey, who cares? Go download it, read it, enjoy. Drawing back just a little, I know adults who would be mortified if their friends or family knew how many teen books they read. I've actually seen this in public, like people shaming those that they love because they were reading like Harry Potter or something. But if they're flipping through the Hunger Games on the iPad, they can just tell everybody they're reading Battle Royale by Takami Koshun. It's damn near the same book anyway. Read what you want, without fear. I don't care if you're reading high culture or pulp smut. Just read. Read to make yourself happy. And if you've got a self-conscious thing about people knowing that you're reading certain things, hit up your library and download it, because, hey, we don't tell anybody what you're reading. And then don't worry about those people. You've got far better things to do, like downloading something good to read. I remember back in the day when you couldn't listen to a podcast without hearing an ad for Netflix. Just like today, where you really can't listen to a podcast without hearing an ad for Squarespace, a few years back, Netflix was all over the podcast feeds. Now they don't have to do that so much. It was someone's job at Netflix to make sure everybody heard about Netflix, and now that everybody has, they've probably fired that person because that's kind of how Netflix works. If there's a place for true subscription fatigue, it's streaming video. You can take your choice. You can have some Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Vudu, CBS All Access, HBO Go, Showtime Anytime, Max Go, and YouTube Red. Or is it YouTube Premium? Who knows? Disney will be starting up their own streaming service soon. Apple is working on one too. And you can bet other big businesses are looking into it. I mean, sure, you can cut your cable and roll with one or more of these services, but you face a question. How much am I paying for cable television in comparison to how much I'll be paying for streaming services? After all, a subscription to a couple of these services and suddenly you're looking at the same bill. It's just split up among different places. So, why not take a moment, breathe, and try something free from your library. Okay, so let's throw another peanut at that big blue elephant and talk about Overdrive. Overdrive carries a pretty decent selection of videos for you to check out and watch. Now, granted, you're not going to find the big new releases on any of these library-related video services. But that doesn't mean there aren't great movies out there for your movie night needs. Taking a look at our local Overdrive video and checking for the most popular titles, I'm seeing things like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, along with the other two in the Millennium Trilogy, and they're the good Scandinavian versions. There's the live-action Paddington movie, which was far cuter than it had any right to be. There's 13 Assassins by prolific director Miyake Takeshi. There are scads of indie films and some fantastic documentaries. Hoopla, on the other hand, has a massive selection of movies along with an app for the Roku Media Box, which makes it even easier to watch free library videos on your big screen TV. Currently, popular titles include Loving Vincent, which is, it's not only an animated movie about Vincent van Gogh, but it's also painted in the style of his works. It's a stunningly beautiful film. Indie movies like Chlorine and Bronson. And don't forget kids' movies, too. Say you've got a little one who wants to watch something fun. Hoopla offers several Disney movies and animated features like DuckTales the movie, and a couple of classic Mickey Mouse features as well. There's PBS shows like The Cat in the Hat knows a lot about that, alongside some Sesame Street titles. And for the grown-ups, Hoopla's documentary offerings tend to be better than Overdrive's, and I'm looking at Dear Mr. Watterson, which is an exploration of the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes, and the documentary itself is done by Berkeley Breathitt, and I apologize if I've pronounced his last name wrong. That's one of those names that I've always read and never heard, but he's the guy who drew Bloom County, Outland, and Opus. There's also The Perfect Bid, which is about the mathematical genius who absolutely destroyed the game show The Price is Right because he'd memorized the prices of all the things that they regularly featured. And finally, a new, or at least new-to-me service, that took me completely by surprise is Canopy. And that's Canopy spelled with a K. Canopy absolutely kills it with the indie and the art house, and they've got documentaries along with the Great Courses series if you happen to be into learning things. They've got a fantastic library of foreign films, too. Canopy is kind of what happens when PBS and IFC run off and have a genius kid together. For me, I love watching the Great Courses series, and keep in mind that I've heard the Great Courses stuff advertised on other podcasts, and they're not cheap. Over at Canopy, you can watch the Great Courses for the price of your library card. Learn about astronomy from Neil deGrasse Tyson, or ancient Egypt from Dr. Bob Breyer, a world-renowned Egyptologist. Heck, you can learn about Python programming from a computer scientist and professor at Texas A&M. About you, but I still enjoy flipping through a good magazine every so often. So much so that I've downloaded a huge amount of old computer magazines from the Internet Archive, and I read them on my iPad. Yeah, the web has mostly taken over when it comes to print media, but you can still find great writing and photography in the world of magazines. The photography and interviews in Rolling Stone, for instance, the activism of The Advocate, the insight of Mother Jones, and the technical acumen of Wired and Macworld, the food of Bon Appetit. These things make magazines worth reading, at least in my opinion. And it's especially nice when the magazines don't take up any more room than your tablet. Today, one of the biggest players in the digital magazine space is RB Digital. Now, we've mentioned them before, and they not only do the audiobooks, but they've got digital magazines, too. They used to call themselves Zinio for Libraries, but they've since dropped the Zinio name while still retaining a ton of fantastic magazines. All the ones I just named up there? RB Digital has those, and they have a whole lot more. I know that a more technical crowd listens to this show, so depending on how your library sets things up, RB Digital can offer things like Xbox Official, Wired, PC World and PC Magazine, Macworld, Apple Magazine, CQ for the amateur radio fans, and more. I'm a science guy too, so I'm into astronomy, Discover, National Geographic, Smithsonian, and popular science. There are magazines on art, lifestyles, fitness, woodworking, men's and women's interests, and so much more. Check out your local library to see if you have access, and keep in mind, it costs nothing to try. It costs nothing to try any of these services, so if you don't like it, you don't have to worry about contacting someone or filling out a form to get your money back. You didn't pay any money, so there's no money to get back, and if you don't like the service, you can simply stop using it. But, as a bonus feature, it also costs nothing to continue using it. So yeah, many libraries offer services to download and read digital magazines, and that's cool and all, but hey, did you ever think, did you even stop to consider comic books and graphic novels. I know, right? You can actually download comics and graphic novels, and for that, we return to our old friend Hoopla. As I said, they kind of have everything. Hoopla offers the big titles and the small ones, too. DC, Marvel, Image, Valiant, and more. And we're talking Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, as in the Marvel comic title, and Shazam. Avengers, Justice League, Star Trek, Sandman, Lock and Key, Transformers, and on and on and on. Seriously, if you enjoy comics, you need to check out Hoopla. And if you're looking for something different than the normal flights and tights, may I recommend Lumberjanes, a comic about a group of friends out in the woods and the weird stuff that happens to them there. Or if you happen to dig on samurai, you absolutely owe it to yourself to check out Usagi Yojimbo. It's all about the adventures of a samurai rabbit in feudal Japan. Now, before you start thinking that this is just cute bunnies with swords, it just so happens that the story and the writing behind that bunny with the sword, it's incredible. This ain't My Little Bunny Samurai Are Magic. It's a story of the warrior code, the Bushido. It is a story of samurai in 17th century Japan. The samurai just happen to be portrayed as animals. It's a classic, and it's a classic for a reason. And Hoopla has loads of them. You should totally check that out. Go nuts. Find something that you want to read. And hey, when you check these things out, keep in mind, no overdue fines. And if you happen to have one of the nicer iPads or one of the nicer Android tablets, they look beautiful. We're talking high quality images. These are not just, you know, something that someone just scanned and let go. This is good stuff. And if you're into the comics and you're into the magazines, check them out. If this happens to be your first episode of the show, well, hey, welcome. I am so happy to have you here. And even though this may be your first episode of the show, you might have noticed that there are these music breaks throughout. I do that for a couple of reasons. The first one is, the music breaks up the monotonous sound of my voice. Sure, I can drone on and on and on and on. But you know what? I have to edit this damn thing, and even I don't want to listen to the sound of my voice for a half-hour stretch. So if I don't want to do that, why should I subject you to it? Second, and probably most importantly, it's because I freaking love music. I'm a musician, and I've had this thing for music since I was 5 years old. So not only do I break up the segments with a little music, but I'm also trying to share some of these songs with you. Calling the songs out in the conclusion, well, that's just the right thing to do, as all of these songs are licensed under Creative Commons. Putting links to the tracks in the show notes? Same thing. That's what you do when you want to use a Creative Commons track. But child, I do it anyway because I want to share these songs with you. So, for the final segment of this show, let's talk music. There are a couple of big players in the library music space, and you might be able to guess one of them. I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with, we already talked about Hoopla in almost every segment, so why not this one too? So, no, I'm serious. Hoopla has a massive selection of music, including popular stuff that you're going to hear on the radio right now. And this also includes stuff on that you'll hear on Spotify and Apple Music. So this isn't like some weird, wild artist that you've never, ever heard of and have no idea where to start. Checking out the popular downloads on Hoopla right now, I'm seeing Taylor Swift, Drake, Cardi B, Imagine Dragons, Queen, because of that Queen biopic that is, I don't know if it's out yet, but it's coming out soon if it's not, and Janelle Monáe. Into country music? Well, how about Jason Aldean, Dan and Shay, Luke Bryan, Kacey Musgraves, and Lady Antebellum. And keep in mind, Taylor Swift was on Hoopla when she pulled her music from Spotify and other streaming services. Jazz fan? Well, there's Coltrane, Kaz, Brubeck, Fitzgerald, Lennox, Matsui, Simone, and Getz. And they've even got ambient and soundscapes, something that I'm quite into. There's something in every genre, and I bet you'll find something that you'll like. But hey, would you like to expand your personal music collection? Believe me, I worked the front circulation desk for 17 years, and in that time I've watched people walk in with their laptops, sit down with a stack of CDs, and walk out with some new tunes on their hard drive. That's illegal, of course. Besides, they should have checked to see if they could download the tracks for free and keep them. There's a perfectly legal way to do that so long as you're getting the file through Freegal at your library. Freegal is an odd little thing when you first hear about it because you're going to think something's fishy, that something is, you know, sideways or something. Freegal hosts most of the Sony Music catalog, and we're talking tens, if not hundreds, of thousands of tracks. Music by Justin Timberlake, Meghan Trainor, Childish Gambino, and far more. Me, when I'm not listening to ambient and space, you can bet I'm listening to Irish and Celtic. Freegal's Celtic section includes new and emerging, as well as classic Celtic from my favorite artists. So I found Capercaillie along with the Clancy Brothers and the Dubliners albums, and yeah, it's some good stuff. Now, the thing about Freegal that most people are taken aback by is that you can download these tracks. They allow you to download a given number per week depending on the agreement that they've set up with your library. They're MP3 files, and they're high quality, and you get to keep them. They're yours. You don't need to return them. As a matter of fact, there is no mechanism to return them. You get to keep them. No, I'm serious. They're yours. It's 100% legal. You paid for the music when you paid your taxes. And you can thank your library by supporting them in other ways. But your library will support your music habit with this service. Download the songs, keep them, put them in your playlist, do whatever. They're yours. And almost as good, some libraries offer the Freegal streaming service, which means you don't have to download the music. You can just stream it through your library. It's kind of like having a radio station there right for you, right from your library. And if you think this sounds crazy, check this out. Even if you don't like her, you have to admit that Adele is a musical powerhouse and lots of people love her. Like Taylor Swift, she isn't too keen on the streaming services either. So when her album 25 dropped, you couldn't get it anywhere on the streaming services at first. Spotify didn't have it, Apple Music didn't have it, Tidal didn't have it, and so on. But Freegal had it. And they still do. I downloaded Hello, her first big track off 25, the day after it was released. Why the day after? Well, because I was busy the day before. If you're having trouble finding a song or an artist, you just might want to try your library's online music offerings because, hey, they just might have it. And once again, yours to keep. God, I freaking love music. And I love libraries, maybe just a little bit more. And that brings us to the end of another episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I thank you so much for tuning in and listening, and hey, I hope you give some of these services a try. After all, they cost nothing to try, and they cost nothing to continue using them. You can get some great ebooks, great audiobooks, movies, music. I mean, you'd be surprised what your library has to offer if you've not really bothered to browse their website all that much. Take a look and see what they have. Visit your local branch, and I'm sure there is someone there that can help you out and show you what you need to do to get some of this excellent free stuff, from ebooks to music and movies and comics and magazines. There's just so much. Check out the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, and you'll see plenty of links there to all of these different services where you can kind of get a start and see what they're all about. The song you're currently digging on is When the Rain Comes by Saki featuring Shiraki. Earlier in the show, you heard Electro Attitude by Chuzalson, Falling Underwater, that's also by Saki featuring Maria Stark, Bunker by Meter, Ocean Hotel by Uncan, and Weirder by Drake Stafford. As always, the opening track is Belly Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita, and you can check out all of these tracks in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. And hey, I wanted to mention that I'll be doing something special throughout the month of October. Something for the Halloween season, a little something spooky, a little something supernatural. And it'll be a sort of side podcast. It'll be available on cyberpunklibrarian.com and through the standard podcast feeds and all that happy stuff. But it's going to be called WRTH, and we're going to talk about ghostly things and supernatural things and personal experiences and ghostly media and things that I like in that genre. So these will be fairly short little episodes, maybe a little podcast snack for when you just need a few minutes of something to fulfill some time and just want to have something different coming through your podcatcher. So watch the website, watch the Twitters and the Mastodons for that, because I will definitely be announcing when the first episode goes up. I'll probably put a notice up on the main Cyberpunk Librarian podcast feed to kind of just to direct you there. I think you might enjoy it if you're into some Halloween fun and the supernatural stuff. If you want to get in touch with me, I highly suggest that you do so. I'm still on Twitter. It's been a thing here over the last few weeks, but yep, still there. You can find me at Bibrarian. That's Bibrarian. It's like librarian, but it starts with a B. You can also find me on Mastodon. I am on the Glamorous Mastodon, and that's glammr.us, or you can find me as Cyberpunk Librarian at glamour.us. So if you're into the Mastodon thing, hey, follow me there, because I'm really kind of liking Mastodon. I don't know if it's going to replace Twitter, and I don't care, because I'm still having a good time. Or if you want to try the tried and true SMTP method of contacting me, you can always hit me up at cyberpunklibrarian@protonmail.com. And with that, let's go ahead and get out of here. I thank you so much for listening. Check out the feeds later on in October for WRTH. And you know what? I will see you at least in some way, shape, or form on the other side of this episode or on the other side of WRTH. Thanks for listening. And remember, before you get out of here, that you don't have to be high tech to be low budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care out there.